Welcome back to How to Be a Better DM. I'm your host, Justin Lewis, here with other host, Tanner Wayland. I always get confused when I say co-host or whatever. I don't like the word co-host. With host, Tanner Wayland.
Hello, I'm host, Tanner Wayland. pleasure to be here.
Yes. Please forgive my awkwardness. I just came back from Thanksgiving break, and we here at How to Be a Better DM hope you had an excellent Thanksgiving. For those of you who are new to the show, this is the show designed to help you craft better stories for yourselves and your players as you DM sessions of D&D. As you can tell, I'm slightly a little rusty because we did just come back from Thanksgiving. One quick announcement before we get to the show is just a big thank you for all of you listening to the show. Over the weekend, I was able to do the one shot in November's one shot. And time and time again, it amazes me that we're able to pull random strangers together for 4 hours. They don't end up hating each other. Instead, they actually laugh and they seem to become genuine friends after 4 hours, and they've never met each other before. They don't know each other, and it's just amazing. So a big thank you. And we want to keep doing this. We want to make it better. So if you get a moment, go to betterdungeonmaster.com/feedback and answer a few questions on what we can do more to help you be a better DM. And obviously, we're going to have some more announcements at the end of today's show. But again, today we are dissecting the one shot from September, and we're going to hopefully start off where we left off. But if we don't, bear with us. And the audio levels might be a little wonky, but again, just try and bear with us. And Tanner, anything you want to say before we get started?
No, just excited to review this one shot.
Excellent, excellent. Well, here we go. I'm going to share. You can also check this out. If you're not watching it live on YouTube, you can go to our YouTube channel and watch it live. Otherwise, if you're listening to this on the podcast, we'll try and explain anything that's visual, but hopefully you don't miss anything. So actually, I don't think I shared my audio. It's very important that you click the share system audio. Otherwise, no one can hear it. So here's take two.
Okay. He finally walks over with her to you and he says,
"Do you hear that, Tanner?"
"Yes, yes, I do."
Perfect, perfect.
"Oh, hello, adventurers. It's very nice to meet you. I am the fine mayor of this town."
I think we are forward a little bit.
"You can call me Chomsil. Also reach out to Constable Brogan. He is the man I have set to investigate this ordeal. Now, if you excuse me, I must be on my way. And welcome to my fine city of Autumn's Grace." And he gives you a low bow and then proceeds on his way. And Teresa then leads you to her home, where she then proceeds to cook you breakfast, because it is earlier in the morning. And she starts cooking breakfast and making eggs and things. And she says, "Now, my friends, I'm sure that you have many questions. Let me give you a general..."
I know this is probably like being a little picky, but to me, if the group traveled into the city and it's morning early enough that they haven't had breakfast yet, like that they must have gotten up in the middle of the night. Like,
true.
That, I wanted them to be able to be in Teresa's house to kind of get the quest download in a sense. But I haven't quite figured out how to make it, you know.
Well, I do think that you ruined the game for them, because they probably were thinking about that the whole time. They were like, "Oh my goodness, why would we break camp without breakfast?"
Or second breakfast, right?
Or second breakfast. What are we doing? No, I think that is a small thing. But you know, also maybe saves you some, you know, or at least it would add some immersion, you know, if you do kind of have that kind of mental clock of like, "Oh, what time is it? What would make sense for these players, for these characters?" You know, but yeah, small thing. Don't worry. I don't think that was terrible.
Well, thinking about it now, maybe the reason why I bring it up is because it does kind of set the pacing for the day. You know, they're starting out in the morning. If they came at lunchtime and they had lunch, I think that might make it a little bit more mysterious, because then they would really only be able to investigate one or two houses before it gets dark and kind of adds to the mood. You know what I mean?
That's a good point. I think that if you, because I've actually played this one shot with you too, and I realized, I was like, okay, we all kind of assumed it happened in one day, because it did happen in one day. And I'm like, you know, I think that having that change in time to darker, so that a lot of the climax is happening like later, I think that'd be a good mood thing, and could make it more horrifying for the scary parts, you know, things like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good thing.
General explanation of what I've noticed, but you can ask any questions afterwards. So, about it must have been a month ago, a particular family disappeared for about a week, the Pilov family, and then they returned without any explanation. And since then, they've been acting rather strange. I can't quite put my finger on it, but them returning would not have given me pause, except for the fact that about 3 weeks ago, so a week later, the Rowcroft family also disappeared inexplicably. And they were gone for about 5 days, and then they reappeared. And in my interactions with them, they've also acted rather strangely. And then finally, the Ishrogat family. They disappeared earlier this week, and they reappeared just 3 days later. And they've acted very strangely as well. And this ever since the Rowcrofts returned, I've had my misgivings. So I sent you that letter, Isaac. And the Utrecht's disappearing has only confirmed my apprehension. And if there's anything you can do to investigate and discover what has happened, I would be very grateful.
Strange tidings indeed. You say you have theories about these particular vanishings and reappearances?
Well, not so much theories. I mean, this whole area is full of legends and folklore, and we keep a village watch in order to keep the wildlings out and also wolves and things like that. I don't know exactly what might have happened, but, you know, it can't be good.
So just kind of a question on your thoughts. Do you think something more nefarious should have happened to make her worried, or is that enough?
I'm glad you paused, because like I was having a thought about the setup, and I was like, you know what? I know that you were probably trying not to give too much info because you wanted most of the information gathering to happen at the place, you know, where it's like more in person, you know, more active. When you're talking to those three families. My issue, though, is I do think it was like, oh, they just started acting weird. I do feel like there should have been more of an inciting event for her. Like, oh, they started acting weird, and then all three of them invited me to something, you know, to the old cave outside of town or something, you know? And when I arrived, they acted really weird, and I barely got away. So who knows what, right? It doesn't have to be exactly like that, but just something that gets your hackles on edge, like more than just, oh, they started acting weird after disappearing. Another thing that I thought in terms of setup that would have helped is if they had gone somewhere specifically that you knew about, you know, because as I recall, later on, like, the families are like, oh, no, we just left town or whatever else, right? But I think in terms of just adding settings to the story, it would be nice if, like, oh, they left to blank place, or they said that they left to this one place, and then they've all been acting weird, you know? And then you could actually, like, give the players options of, like, oh, they could go to each of the families, or they could go to that place, or who knows what, right? I think it just needed a little bit more of a hook, I guess, beyond the fact that they were acting weird. Whether that's like, hey, there needs to be more nefarious happenings, or there needs to be like some kind of additional detail in terms of like where they went or what specifically they were doing, you know?
Gotcha. So, what if there was a fourth family that disappeared first and has not reappeared?
Interesting. That could work. I think either that could work or the reverse, where it's like, oh, another family just disappeared, but this family told me that they were going blank, you know, or something, right? Just something about some remaining mystery, I guess. And like a still missing family is a great idea, right? I would also add to that, her being like, oh, I also had another person who thought it was weird, and he said that he was going to go find it out, and I haven't heard from him, you know? Kind of adding peril to the whole situation, right?
Yeah. This is getting my mind thinking, because, so like, what if there was a second constable, essentially? Well, so the hard line that I'm finding is, it has to be like concerning enough that Teresa is like, oh my gosh, we need help. But
yeah,
like innocuous enough that most people in the town don't think anything of it, you know?
Yeah, like, and I think, I mean, we're going to hear, and you've explained a little bit, it's like, oh, she has had interactions with these families, so it's like, oh, she might be one of the only people noticing, right? But yeah, I think there just needs to be, and maybe you could just explain it away by like, hey, this is a small town, not everybody interacts, I happen to know these people, though, you know?
Okay, what about this secret detail that Teresa like lets out, and she explains that she's kind of like terrified to admit it, but the second family, she actually saw them like leaving the city or returning, maybe returning might be better.
Returning
to the city in the like dark of night, coming from a specific direction.
Yeah, that's smart. Actually, I think just additional details, because currently she's doing a lot of like, oh, I'm just worried. Can you go find it out? And then I think the issue that you're going to run into here is that players are going to be like, oh, we didn't get much info from them, from her. Let's ask a lot of questions. And then they're going to come away like, oh, those questions didn't really help much because she doesn't know much, you know?
That's right. Okay.
And so either give her more to know or have her be like, I really don't know anything, but the reason why I got all scared is because of this big thing. Someone disappeared or whatever, you know? And so you were the only ones I could turn to. Can you go check it out? You know, so that they spend less time at her place asking questions that probably won't have any answers, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it wastes less time. That's a really good point. Either make her like a valuable resource or shorten the interaction.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Excellent. Anything else on this section?
That's awesome.
Cool.
Any of you heard of anything like this before? And I turned to my compatriots to get their assessment.
Other than wildlings, goblins, drow, orcs, minotaurs, centaurs, devils, demons, probably missing one or two, they normally take people.
And they don't give them back.
These do too.
Yeah. Taking is normal, but them coming back, that's the
difference. Oh yeah, they're probably possessed.
Can you direct us to the homes of the Kiwaf the Uchabars, and was it the Roarcroft or the Lorcroft?
The Roarcroft. Of course. So the Pilofs, they actually, they run a farm just to the north of the city, the town, as it were, and it's about a mile away. If you just follow this particular road, and it will take you right there, the Roarcrofts, they run a lumber mill on the western portion of town. It's right up against the forest, as naturally a lumber yard would be. And the Utrogards, they run a blacksmith shop towards the northern part of town, though it's more central than, of course, the Roarcrofts or the Pilofs. But here are our directions, and she kind of gives you a slip of parchment explaining how to get to each one.
Well, we have two of the locations towards the north. Perhaps it's wise of us to go in that direction.
Yes.
Before we go, were these families liked by the town, or did they have enemies here?
Oh, that's a good question. As far as enemies, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, Autumn's Grace is fairly small. It's not like your larger cities where people might make a name for themselves. Really, everyone here knows each other. And newcomers are easy to spot. If there were quabbles between two families, they were usually sorted out rather quickly. Or they were taken to the village council, or perhaps the...
I don't think quabble is a real word, by the way.
Squabble.
I don't believe any of them had any particular enemies or anything like that.
As a listener of this show, you obviously love story. Now that you've had a chance to craft your own story by listening to this show, wouldn't it be nice to get some inspiration? Or maybe you just want a moment of immersion and escape and entertainment. Whatever it is, come join us on our new show, Pact and Boon. It's an actual play D&D podcast in the world of Kalignos, where our characters, Jolly, Wolfgang, and Alon, will find and meet each other in hell. And from there, start a troublemaking journey with some near-death experiences that will hopefully lead them to a happy ending. Find it wherever great podcasts are heard, or just go to sessionzerostudios.com/pactnboon. That's PACTNBOON. Start listening today.
And what was the odd behavior that they were displaying?
This is possibly the hardest thing to really gauge. You see, there's something about being alive, you know. You act in a certain way, you fidget or things like that, but being around these families, they don't seem to act that way. They act rather stiff. They act... I don't know how to explain it. In fact, the Pilofs, when they first returned, when they first reappeared, they seemed very emotionless. As time has wore on, they've seemed to regain themselves as, maybe some of their emotions seem to resurface or something like that. I don't know if they went through some sort of trauma and then that affected them and now they're kind of retaking themselves or what.
Justin.
I'm going to lean over to Ezra Gull.
Okay. Here's something good that I see that you're doing. So we were talking about like, oh, it'd be nice if you had like initially like served up some questions. Here you're seeing how it's like, hey, even if you don't, it seems like you've done enough preparation to where like when he was like, oh, what are they doing weird? Like, I think that was a pretty good, you know, little speech or monologue about like, oh, something about being alive, the fidget, things like that. They weren't doing that, and also the emotions and things like that. I think the only way you can make it better, well, not the only way, but one of the ways you can make it better is like a specific interaction. Be like, so I went up to deliver, to get milk from them, and when they came, they handed me, you know, like some milk and just immediately closed the doors. You know, who knows what, right? Just something specific, yeah. Kind of like an anecdote. I think that would add to it. But otherwise, I think that you did a very good job of being like, hey, here's some specific ways that it's kind of weird, right?
Yeah. I think that's excellent thing to point out. That's the classic thing of show, don't tell.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, how have they been acting weird? Well, the other day when I walked up and I said hello to their child, he looked at me, didn't smile, and then walked away. You know, super weird for a child or something, you know.
Yeah.
And it just, it's seamless.
Yeah, I think that's totally true. Like, in my mind, finding out how to be very descriptive in not only your settings, but also describing the actions of others, that's huge for, like, fleshing a character out and also adding depth to a conversation.
For sure. For sure.
I told you they weren't real people anymore.
I kind of did the right thing in calling me, and next time don't wait so.
Sorry, did you say something?
No. I just love it.
Okay, sorry. I got to be honest. Like, having these one shots is super fun for me because you see people, you know, just be these really funny characters, and you know, this group was really good, particularly so.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Please. As always, your cooking is fantastic. Please give my regards to your sister.
Of course, I will.
And then one more question. Have they been seeing you during the day or just during the night? Because that might narrow down what they might be affected with.
I don't know if they've actually been seen during the night, but I know during the day they proceed around normally. The only reason I don't know if they've been seen during the night is because generally people retire to their homes, especially the Pilofs being a mile outside of town. But, I mean, they seem to walk around and do normal things. It's simply the interactions that seem off.
Say that again?
That's just another way that making it go into the nighttime would have been good. It's like, oh, no one really sees them at night. They kind of stay indoors, but yeah, you know. And then if they went at night, you would see, like, they're acting very weird, you know.
Yep. I also think, I don't know why, but that particular moment, it made me think that I could have done a better job in picking, like, the pattern of the families that got
visited,
that disappeared, you know. Yeah, like figuring out, like, why was it the Pilofs, the Rokrofs, and the Utrogards? Like, what connects them? I think, you know, if I had come up with some sort of pattern, that might have been a little bit more intriguing and helpful to the players.
Yeah, something like, oh, each of these families are blank, you know, keep to themselves.
Yeah.
Or recently moved in the past year or something, right?
Yeah. Or visited, like you said, visited a specific cave in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Or ate some stuff from this one merchant. I don't know.
Yeah, or had an argument with the mayor or something, right? Whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be, like, even better. Yeah. So.
Thank you.
Of course. Any other questions I can help you out with?
So not a question, but just looking around this room, would Nicoderm, just looking around, does anything look out of place? Does anything look different in here?
Go ahead and make a perception check.
All right.
The first roll of the night. I love it.
All right. One second.
And then feel free and roll on Roll 20 or D&D Beyond or with a real life dice, however you want. Just tell me where it is so I can go to the correct screen.
All right, yeah, I'm looking at Roll 20 here.
Awesome. That looks like a big one.
Boom.
So you start to look around, and then you start smelling something. Ooh, that smells like cinnamon. Ooh. And then from inside the oven, she pulls out a big platter of cinnamon rolls, and she puts it on the table, and immediately your attention is taken from the room right to the cinnamon rolls. And they are delicious.
You don't mind if we...
Oh, of course. Of course.
For the road. One for the road.
Yes. And there's just enough for all of you.
And Teresa, before we head out, Mayor Manting, I saw you speaking with him. He was moving about, rather animated. Yes. Is there anything we should know about?
The mayor. He is quite an interesting fellow. He's been mayor for about... It's been a good long while now. And he truly seems to care about the city. Though he does have fairly large ambitions. He wants to turn Autumn's Grace into something larger than perhaps it is right now. And in that case, he tends to push maybe hard for merchant trade or other things. He seems to work fairly well with the with the other members of the city council, though he is not necessarily flamboyant, but he definitely does have big ambitions for Autumn's Grace.
Was Constable Brogan, honorable man?
Constable Brogan, he is an interesting one. Honestly, I have not had the opportunity to interact with him much, but from what I've heard, he can be quite gruff. And rumors say that he came from a larger city. It might have been Fairwind or something like that, but he came from a larger city, but he came out to Autumn's Grace.
So here's an idea.
Yeah.
As we were saying, so the second family, she notices a cloaked figure visiting them, like entering their house the night before they disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And the cloaked figure was short, and it could either, like, the idea is to kind of plant the seed that it could either be the mayor or it could be Constable Brogan.
Yeah.
And then whichever one the players guess, it's the opposite.
Oh,
you know?
That's fun.
What do you think?
No, yeah, I like that, where it's like, hey, you're planting a seed, but it's not so obvious that it's only one person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that maybe too complicated?
You know, I think that you could pull it off well. I would just, my concern and my worry would be, hey, if you overburden them with leads and like threads to pull, especially during a one shot, you know, then that's, I've seen it in campaigns where if you give them too many threads to pull, then they just kind of, they lose track of what they need to follow up on. And they don't follow up on the most punchy one to begin with. Right. For me, I would wait if you're going to drop like a tip like that, like, oh, there was a short figure or something. I would wait on that. I would wait until you had visited like a family or two, and maybe if the players haven't found anything else, then it's like, oh, let's drop a breadcrumb for them. You know?
Gotcha.
A couple things I noticed. One, I thought the with the natural one, I thought that was very well done. Like, oh, you're doing it. Then you smell, you know, cinnamon rolls. I did think it was funny that you're like, oh, pulled it out of the oven. And I was like, what did they use for ovens back in the day? I was just sitting there like, for a second, I was like, I guess they did have some types of ovens where it's like, oh, the fire's underneath.
And
like an enclosed space, almost like a pizza oven that's like heated from underneath. There's kind of things like that. But I loved that, that kind of tact. I also noticed that this is a pretty smart group. Like they're asking good questions, which is nice, you know. Finally, what was the last thing? When they were asking about different stuff. Oh man, I had a thought. I guess my thought, one thought that I had right now is I think that it's gone pretty well in terms of people interacting. Like, I feel like each of your players has said something during the conversation, which is big, right? There's obviously some people who talk a little bit more than others. I would just, you know, it's not always easy to include people who are kind of on the quieter side in the same conversation.
Right.
But in future like when they go to investigate the families, I think that's a great place to remedy it. Kind of like, hey, if the current encounter is revolving around certain players, then make the next encounter kind of have the family talk specifically to the players who weren't kind of in the forefront in the last one, right?
Yeah. It's actually kind of funny you mentioned that, because I know here we see, you know, myself and then four players. There's actually a fifth player who doesn't have his screen showing.
Oh, that's right.
He turned it off. Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because he, towards the beginning, he was very quiet. They go to the first house and he splits off essentially because he's a halfling and he pretends to be a little boy.
Oh, nice.
And so he splits. Yeah, he splits off with the farmer's little boy and has this entire scene with just him and this little boy. And it's kind of nice because it, you know, it allows him to role play, you know, as completely by himself, you know, kind of have this entire scene to himself. And then later on, it's much more collaborative between the whole team, which is really cool. But yeah, definitely a good point that I could have brought out, you know, his conversation in this beginning point. But luckily he himself remedied that later on by saying, hey, can I like pretend to be a little boy? And, you know, so.
Yeah, that's great. Honestly.
Good.
Yeah. No, that's it. Yeah.
Cool. Sorry. I think there's a little bit of lag, but, I think that's all the time we have today. So, thank you guys for listening to today's show. A couple of finishing announcements. First of all, if you want to hang out with me and Tanner in January, you can, if you're in the Utah area, Utah County specifically. We're actually going to be at an event called D&D, which is Dungeons, Networking, and Dragons. It's actually a business networking event that is designed to help businesses grow and make connections through playing D&D. We're both going to be dungeon masters there. And if you want, if you're interested, you have a business or you're trying to start a business and you want to make connections in this way, you can go to dndmerchantsguild.com and go to the events page, buy yourself a ticket there. That's where we'll be. Gosh. And then obviously if you want to sign up for the next one shot in December, that's betterdungeonmaster.com/one-shot. And then we are actually ambassadors for this awesome company out of Puerto Rico that makes dice. They reached out to us and I got to know them a little bit. It's a small business. She actually just makes the dice. I asked her, you know, how'd you get started? And she's like, well, I've always loved dice. And then I found D&D and, you know, it kind of married my two hobbies together. And
perfect.
I was interested that she liked dice before D&D, but usually it's the other way around. Anyways, her stuff's awesome. You can go to betterdungeonmaster.com/dicelegion and get a 10% discount. And if you just go to dicelegion.com, you can also put in the discount code BETTERDM, and that should also give you the 10%. Anything else you want to add, Tanner?
No, honestly, for any of you who are listening to us kind of review these sessions, I hope that you realize that when we're reviewing a one-shot, and we hope to do this a lot more, even with guest hosts, and even we're thinking about potentially having you you players that we've played with in the past host some one-shots. We intend to continue doing these kind of reviews, and it's not to, you know, put anyone down, but we genuinely think that you can learn a lot by analyzing and learning from past games. And so, yeah, I love doing this.
Yeah, Yeah. Ditto to that. And I guess the only thing we can say is happy holidays in case we don't see you. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night. That's a little quote there from The Truman Show. But in all seriousness, thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week for another amazing show. And until then, let's go ahead and roll initiative. Do you love these podcast episodes but aren't always able to listen to them? Do you learn better reading information rather than listening to it? Here's what you can do. Go to sessionzerostudios.com/newsletter. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get tips and tricks sent directly to your inbox in written format that you can read and reference whenever you want. You'll get tips that we don't share on the podcast and bonus techniques that, frankly, no one has ever heard before. Again, sessionzerostudios.com/newsletter and get those free tips and techniques right to your inbox every week.